All right, this morning I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. We're going to talk again about some of these questions that God asks us. We've been talking a little bit about some of the questions that specifically Christ asked, and again, the understanding is that we know that God is not asking these questions so that he'll gain knowledge. He already knows the answer to them. He already knows what's in the hearts of man. He already knows what we're thinking. He already knows what our desires are. He already knows all of that. I mean, when he asks these questions, and if you will, they're answered, it's not necessarily like he's surprised by any of this. He's not like, oh, wow, really? I never knew that. Like what we do when we are asking a question. I was at a meeting the other day for something else, and there was a bunch of people that had some questions, and man alive, I'm sitting there going, like, if you had paid attention to what was said earlier, but they just, again, there was a lot of people asking questions so that they would gain knowledge about something that they didn't know, or something that was unclear, or something that was to clarify. God doesn't need any of that. But what these questions are intended to do is to get us to reflect on them. Get us to sit there and think about them and say, how would I answer that? What would I answer? What is it that God is trying to tell me about my life that I'm doing? We've seen some very poignant questions. And this morning, I want to talk about this question, if you will, in this series about the good report, about our testimony. And if there's one thing that a Christian needs to understand, and this message this morning is pretty much for those that are believers, okay? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony of what has happened. You could testify in court and say, here is what happened, here is what occurred, here is what has gone on in my life. And many times we can even testify of God's goodness and greatness after the fact, too. Many times we can sit there and if you will, have a time of testimony where we're talking about what goes on. And we do that frequently at the Lord's Supper, talking about what the Lord is doing in our lives and how great our God is, how he brought us all together by his shed blood and his resurrection. And we get an opportunity to hear some things that maybe we are not fully aware of what's going on in other people's lives. But I will tell you this, when we see these passages here and the question that Christ asks, it's a very specific one that has a specific intent, as his example that he gives is talking about those things. In Luke chapter 12, and then if you will, jump down to verse 57 here, he asks this question, yea, and why, even of yourselves, judge ye not what is right? There is the question that we see this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time that we have, an opportunity, Lord, to hear from you, an opportunity for you to ask us a question, again, for us to reflect on what the answer is, what we are doing, to judge ourselves, to look at our own hearts in the light of your word. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit this morning would show us. Show us the intent, show us the meaning, show us the principles that spiritually are going to impact our lives. That Lord, we would have a life that we live to please, to honor you, to give you glory for all that is said and done. I thank you again, Lord, for those that are here this evening, or excuse me, this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts. Use these things that we may please you and honor you. And all of this I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We find this question here, and he starts in verse 54 talking about some things, and he says in verse 54, and he said unto the people, when you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see it, the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye cannot discern this time? And again, he's asking them a question about, you know, what is going on at this point in time? What is the significance of Christ there? What is the significance of all of the events that are happening and occurring? And he asks the poignant question in verse 57, because this is where it really gets down to the meat of it. This is where it really gets to the principle of what he's getting at. And he says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? How is it that we can go through life and we can make judgments about all sorts of things, but we have a difficulty in discerning what is right? We have a difficulty in discerning what God's will is. We have a difficulty in discerning how God desires us to operate and to live. And what we see here is a very critical question that we need to ask ourselves. Can I truly discern what is right in my life? Can I truly discern what is right according to God? Not doing what we do over there in Judges, which is we do that which is right in our own eyes, but we do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. There's a big difference between the two. And I know that a lot of times people try to take what they think is right, and they try to make it godly, but it's very difficult to do. It's impossible to do, especially if it's of our own will. But what God is asking us to do is to do what is right. He's asking us to do good works. You know, the things that we saw this morning in Sunday school about what we are supposed to do with our relationships, how we enter into those relationships, it becomes very critical that we follow those things. So when we ask, or so when he asks this question, there's a lot of things that we need to think about. And he gives this following example in verse 58. He says, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Now, this is a very interesting, if you will, example that he gives, but it speaks volumes about one of the principles that we see in this passage. You realize that when you judge what is right and you do what is right, you leave little for the accuser to accuse you of. Don't give them a reason. Don't give the world a reason. Don't give the devil a reason. Don't give a person that hates your guts a reason to see something different other than Jesus Christ. I mean, when we think about this for a moment, when we think about what is right in this passage here, it is, if you will, a doctrine that is very important. It can be referred to as, if you will, a doctrine of testimony. A doctrine of testimony. And we see, I mean, you take a look at this passage here, you know, and it talks about the adversary. And they're going to a magistrate. They're going to a judge. There's something that's going on. There's a conflict that is there. Somebody is accused somebody of something, and so on and so forth. And many times, you know, we see this in the court world, the legal world today. Somebody accuses somebody of something that's not true. Oh, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot, right? We've all been accused of something that we have not done. We've all been accused and if you will, caught up with other people that were not responsible, or, you know, that were responsible for doing something that we really were, we were there at the wrong place at the wrong time because we had the wrong friends. We had the wrong associations. There's things of that nature. But we may not have engaged in any of the activity. We may have not have been part of that. But I'll tell you this, there is a principle that we see here. That if you are living the testimony that God wants you to live, that you are behaving the way that God wants you to behave, that if you're capable of discerning what is right and what is wrong and what is going on at that specific time, then guess what? You will not have anything that the adversary can use against you. I mean, the right thing here is this doctrine of testimony. When we take a look at this, I mean, think about this. How we behave in the sight of others is of the most grave importance. And the reason why I say that is because it's going to either show a testimony of self or a testimony of Christ. We've seen people that live for themselves. We may have even been one of those people that lives for themselves. We think about this just for a moment, and we think and realize that we as believers have a totally different life now. It does not match what the world is saying. It does not match what the world is teaching. It's contrary to that. So what do? We live a different life, and that has a very different testimony. That is a very different source. It has a very different outcome. It has very different consequences. There's so much about it that is different. And when we think about this for a moment, we realize that this is something that we truly have to understand. I mean, this doctrine has great implications for us. It has tremendous implications because why? You know, it keeps us from trouble. It keeps us from some evil consequences. I mean, take a look at the passage here. He says, look, you know, here's what's happened. You're on your way to the magistrate, and the adversary comes alongside, and what does he do? He hails the judge. He hails thee to the judge. What does that mean? That means he comes up to the judge, and he begins to say, hey, you know what? I know this guy. And as a matter of fact, let me show you about what he's done. And they produce the evidence. And he stands up in the court and says, on such and such a day, that man did such and such a thing. Here's the evidence. Judge, he is to be condemned. Now praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that clearly, you know, justifies us and we can stand in the Lord's presence. But understand this, the accuser still accuses. And that's what the devil does. He is your adversary. Peter makes that clear. Your adversary, what does he do? He walks about as what? A roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. You know what he wants to do? He wants to cast you in prison. He wants to cast you in prison. Now look, praise God, we are not bound to things of hell and death any longer. Man, the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his redemption that he brought upon his resurrection is something you should praise God for every single hour of your day. And I will tell you this, when we start thinking about that for a moment, it is an amazing thing. But I will tell you, you can be brought again into bondage of sin. You can be brought again down to something that just holds you from spiritually growing, that chokes out the Word of God in your life. And it can be anything. Anything that is sin, anything that is not of God, that's one of the key things that we see. There's consequences. There's going to be evil consequences. And if the accuser has some reason to hail thee, you know, guess what's going to happen? We're going to wind up in a world of hurt. This doctrine of saying, hey, do you understand how to judge what is right? If you can get that down, then you're going to leave the accuser very little to bring up. if we judge ourselves, if we judge our testimony, what it says about us, what it says about our heart, what it says about our relationship with our Savior and our God, you know what? We would do well in pleasing the Lord if we would simply judge ourselves. Judging what we do, is it right or is it wrong? Is it good or is it bad? Is it edifying or is it evil? We begin to understand this question. Do we give the opportunity to the adversary to convince us of sin? To show very clearly, yep, he's guilty. He's guilty. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a principle that we find throughout Scripture. And I want to show you some individuals here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In this passage, and it covers verses 3 through 10, it talks about Paul. And I'll tell you this, you know, there was a lot said about Paul. And there's stuff still said about Paul today that is false. When you talk to somebody that is against Paul and his ministry, that thinks the Pauline epistles are blasphemous and not doctrinally for us, they're going to say some horrible things about Paul. They said horrible things about Paul then, they say horrible things about Paul today. But if there's one thing that I know is his testimony showed something very different. And in verse, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 8 here, you know, he goes through all of these things talking about, you know, the ministry that they have in God and what they're doing, with it and how it goes through all these trials and troubles. In verse 8, though, he's talking about the ministry. He says, by honor and by dishonor, by evil report and good report. He says, is deceivers yet true? You know, there's a lot of people that come alongside and they can say, you know what? Paul is a murderer. He is a destructive person. His life is filled with misery, pain, grief, and just disgustingness. And you know what Paul would say? Amen. You want to talk about sinners? You're looking at the chief of them. But they're using it deceitfully. They're not talking about what he's doing now. And I will tell you this, in this life, the Lord is looking to you to have a good report. What do people say about you? And he understands there's going to be people that say evil report. Paul understands that, but he also understands that in the ministry, there needs to be the good report. There needs to be the good report. Take a look over in the book of 3 John. The book of 3 John. 3 John is, I mean, it's a tough book. It's a small book, but it's a tough book. Because you realize there's some major things going on in 3 John that are taking place in the church. And it's not good. But what we find here is we find, you know, obviously there's a couple of people that are mentioned in here. There's Demetrius and there's Diotrephes. But I will say this, when we hear what he's talking about when it comes to Demetrius in verse 12, he says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Here's this guy that, I mean, we have no idea who he is. He's just some dude. But you realize his name is recorded in the Bible forever? Because he chose to say, I'm going to have a good report with all men. He knew what was right, and he judged what was right, so that his testimony would be one of the truth, not something else. not of the world, not of things that are sinful, but things that are godly. And he says, John says, we'll testify of it. The guys that are around me will all testify of it. We will show all of these things, and we will testify very clearly. This is exactly what God wants us to have. A testimony of good report. Look, if you give opportunity for people to say something bad about you, that's sin. That's sin. Take a look over at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. In verse 30, it says, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. There's something about it that is, if you will, refreshing to us spiritually. This isn't talking about physical things. This is talking about something that is inside of us and in our soul. Because remember, our soul has what appears to be and looks like body parts. It has eyes, it has ears, it has a heart, it has a mind, it has bowels, it has bones. Not the way that we think it does, but in a spiritual sense. And something like this, you know what happens? There is an increase that is there. And I'm not talking about an increase in blessings. I'm talking about an increase in receiving something from God. If you're too worried about a bad report and you're too worried about what people are going to say about you, you will starve yourself spiritually. Whereas if you're living according to what God tells you to do and you can discern what is right and you're living a testimony of Jesus Christ, you will receive spiritual benefits of having a closer walk with the Lord, and you will grow very exponentially. But the problem is people often don't care about what others think. Now look, I've said I don't care what others think about me, because I'm not concerned about what they think when I do something that is godly. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do I do things where I'm clearly demonstrating Jesus Christ in my life? Am I doing and saying things that is a good report? Now let's understand something here about the good report. Good report isn't about us. A good report is about what Christ has done in you. What God has done in your life. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And this is something that obviously we need to make sure that we think about. And he goes through these things about how we are supposed to think. How we use what God has given us inside our heart to truly think about and, if you will, avoid some of the anxiety of life. A lot of times people are concerned about what people think about them. And they're concerned about what people think about them in the wrong way. You need to be concerned about what God thinks about what you're doing. You need to be concerned about what you think, when you're thinking about what report would I have if somebody was to testify to God right now of what I'm doing in my life. He says here in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and praise, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do we need to think about? I need to think about, how is my report going to be reviewed? You ever have a performance review at work? Sometimes the performance reviews, I've sat through a few. Interestingly enough, I have not had very many in my entire career. I don't know why. For some reason, just people don't like giving me a performance review. I don't know why. It kind of leaves me sometimes scratching my head. Am I doing a good job here or what? You know, but the fact is what I see here is I see that, you know, if we're to ask somebody, let's say an angel that looks in on us and is writing down what we're doing and what we're saying on a day-to-day basis, and he reports to God, what's that report going to be? Is it going to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Is it going to be, when the accuser comes, have you considered my servant Job? What's it going to look like? What is that report going to say? You know what? And again, these are things that I need to be thinking about, not sitting there fretting about, but taking what Christ says over there in Luke chapter 12 and saying, well, I need to judge what is right. If I can take a look outside and go, oh man, we're in the Pacific Northwest. Oh, it's going to rain. You know, we've entered into the rainy season. You know, people sometimes go out there and go, smells like snow. Sometimes people can discern those type of things. We should be able to go out there and go, smells like sin. I guess I'm going the other way. Maybe it's something like you go, that smells godly. The other day, we were over at some place, we were walking by, and I'm just like, I smell food. It smells good. And what do? We're drawn to that, right? Sin can be deceitful sometimes. And sin can smell really good. Be careful. You got to learn how to use those senses. As the scripture says, learn how to exercise your senses. Use them correctly. Take a look at what we see over here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, it's talking about, you know, the bishop, people that are, you know, pastors in churches. And it says here in verse 7, these are some of the qualifications. It says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. There it is, folks. Now look, people are saying, phew, thank God, God has not called me to be a pastor. Let me explain something. While these may be qualifications of what we often refer to as a pastor, and this is what we're looking for, I want to make this very, 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 very clear. These should be in every believer. Don't say, well, I'm not called to be a pastor, and say, I'm going to skip past this. This should be for everybody. Because these things have to exist before somebody even thinks about being a pastor. These things should be there. And it's a good report of them that are without. Let me ask this question. What would the lost say about you? Sometimes we hang around the wrong people. And you know what? Sometimes they may know a little bit more about us than we know about ourselves. They know what jokes we laugh at. Sometimes people and Christians will think, well, it's okay. You know, I'm hanging around them. I can let loose a little. I can live it up a little. But I can come to church and I can act godly. Oh, that's not a good report. Because if we were to bring those people in and they were to sit there and they'd see you and they're like, wait a second, what are you doing? That's not you. God doesn't like feigning, fakery, or hypocrisy.
Right.
He hates it. Let's be clear. this is a good report. And you go back over there and you see in Luke chapter 12, where he makes mention of that word in verse 58, he says, give diligence. When you're in the way, give diligence that thou may be, that thou mayest be delivered from him, from the magistrate, from the judge, from the adversary. Because again, he's trying to destroy your life. Don't give him a reason. Don't give him a reason. When we think about that, can we be diligent in our testimony? Are we diligent in our testimony? What is the report of our testimony? Or is our Christian life just kind of like one of those ones, well, I'm kind of winging it here. That's not how God wants us to be. God wants us to be purposeful. God wants us to be diligent. God wants us to look at every single thing in our life, every word and every thought, everything about us, and say, is this right? If we can grab that, if we can hold on to that, if we can take that and use that as a filter of how we operate, we will please the Lord our God daily. If we can just start there. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. How do we do this? How do I give diligence? How do I judge what is right? How do I operate in such a way that there would be a good report? And I will tell you, there is a key that God gives us in Scripture. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 gives us the definition of what? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says in verse 1, but look at verse 2. It says this, for by it. Well, what's the it pronoun referring to? Faith. The elders obtained what? A good report. A good report. You go through all of these people and you see a good report. Now, some of them you're looking at going, really? I mean, you know, David's in there. Samson's in there too. And Moses is in there. Abraham did some stuff. Sarah's in there. Yeah, we understand people fail. We understand people fall. We understand people sin. But let's understand this. They still had faith in what God said. They believed what God said. And what did they do? They obeyed it. Now, they may have not obeyed 100%, but God still says they obtained a good report. They obtained a good report. We look at Abraham as the father of faith. We look at David as one of the greatest kings. We look at guys like Joshua and we say, man, that guy's got some leadership stuff. Yeah, he was a leader that didn't want to be a leader. he was just like, here you go. Now it's yours, Joshua. But you see these things that these individuals did. And what did they do? They conformed to what God wanted them to do, not what they thought that they were going to do in their life. They didn't pigeonhole themselves into saying, well, this is the only thing that God's called me to do. Joshua didn't say, well, God only called me to be a leader, of an army. He didn't call me to be a leader of these people. Because, I mean, there's sometimes I was wondering about Moses, whether he was going to have an aneurysm or not. Joshua wasn't just relegated to being a soldier. David wasn't just relegated to being a shepherd. Samson wasn't just relegated to being a has-been. Peter wasn't just relegated to be a fisherman. And you're not relegated to think what you think in your life that you are. If you judge what is right and you're faithful, you can have that good report. The testimony of what Christ has done in your life. The testimony how Christ has changed you. The testimony of saying, I'm not going to do the same things that I used to do. Don't pigeonhole yourself into saying, well, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. You are called to do so much more. And what do we see here? He says, they obtained a good report. Take a look at what he says in verse 39 of the same chapter. He says, who's that pronoun referring to? All of these people that were before, all these having obtained a good report through what?
Faith.
Faith. Through faith. That's something we need to realize. And again, as it continues on, they didn't receive the promises that were there. The Jews to this day still haven't seen the fulfillment of what God said to Abraham was going to be. That's coming. We haven't seen the fulfillment of what God says we're going to be. I mean, it's bad when we come together as a church and we start talking about, hey, what medication are you taking now? What body part ails you? How hard was it for you to crawl out of bed this morning? I mean, you know, and praise God that we have an opportunity to give testimony and say, yeah, hey, you know what? My health is failing. My health is, yeah, it's just get the little caution tape around me right now. But I can say how much God has done for me. So much so that the nurses are sitting there saying, Ken, you've been in here for a long time. We don't want to see you again. Not because we don't like you, but because we love you and we don't want you to be in pain. We don't want you to have problems. This year I wound up with that infection and I showed back up into the Legacy Hospital because they did the surgery to drain it. And some of the nurses were coming in and they're like, Ken, it's good, not good to see you here. And one of the nurses came to me, he said, Ken, we were a little concerned. We hadn't seen you in such a long time that we actually checked to see if you were in the obituaries. Like, love you too. But you know what? I'm not saying this to boast on myself. I'm saying this to boast about Jesus Christ, who gave me the ability to sit there in that stupid hospital bed and still have a smile on my face and still not berate the people that were caring for me and still show compassion and charity and love towards them because they need Jesus Christ too. And if that's my opportunity to be a testimony and a witness, then I will discern what is right and I will say, I will choose to serve the living God. What is your testimony going to say? Turn to Romans chapter 14 and we'll close with this. Romans chapter 14. You know, if we could just do what Christ is asking over there, when he asks the question, specifically, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? If we just judge ourselves, like I said, what is right, we'll be doing a lot better than what we have been. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And in verse 3, and I understand what's being said here, I understand the context of everything, but I want you to see the principle that is laid in this passage. Let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. You know, again, because we were going back and forth because people were arguing in the Church of Rome about what they were eating. Some people liked bacon, some people didn't. Some people liked Chinese food, and other people liked Mexican food. You're like, well, you're being a little, you know, facetious with that. But it came down to whether something was being offered to an idol or whether something was not being offered to an idol. I mean, there were some pretty spiritual, you know, things there. And he's saying, look, how about you just not? Don't look at that person weird because they will refuse to eat that. And if you refuse to eat that, don't look at that person weird because they do eat that. He says, for God hath received him. When you think about that for a moment, you begin to realize what God is saying through all of these things, what the principle behind this is, and you realize, man, people were making a big deal about a lot of stuff because they failed to judge themselves. They failed to judge themselves. And in the last verse of the chapter, take a look at chapter 14, verse 23. It says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And I want you to see that last part. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is needed for the good report. If we don't exercise faith in what God has put in His Word and believe what God has put in His Word and do what God has put in His Word, guess what? We've sinned. And you know what? The accuser comes along and says, gotcha. And Christ warned, he says, you'll pay the consequence of that. You'll pay the consequence of that. You know, there are some people today, it's hard for them to give a testimony of Jesus Christ because of what they've done. Not what they did before salvation, but what they did after. Because they failed to judge what was right. And I would venture to say that that probably describes every last person here in this auditorium. And the little ones downstairs. Does it not? What would your report say of you? What will others say of you? What will God say of you? Are we going to give reason to the adversary to hail against us and show where our sin and the lack of faith lies? Faith, a very simple thing for us to do. Judge that it is right. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time that you've given to us, and I thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity to hear from you, to hear from your word, to ask of us a question about whether or not we can judge what is right. And this morning, Lord, we saw from your example, we need to do that, lest we have a report against us that is contrary to your word, that is contrary to what you've done for us. Lord, may we consider these things this morning. And Lord, if there's been conviction and there's been a pricking in our heart, Lord, may we desire to learn from you in faith what you say, that we would believe those things, that we would do those things, Lord, so that we'd be able to judge and discern what is right in our lives, that we may have a good report of the testimony of Christ in us. Lord, I pray for every believer here that we would understand this, that we would desire, Lord, to be Christians that have a good report, because Christians today are maligned. Christians today are mocked because of bad report and evil report. Lord, let it not be us. Lord, let your Holy Spirit work in us that we would discern and judge that which is right. Thank you again, Lord, for this time. I pray, Lord, that as we close with a hymn of invitation, that, Lord, if we need to get something taken care of, that we would do it right now. That if there's something that we are struggling with, that maybe we know is not right, that, Lord, we'd receive victory through you and your word and your spirit. That, Lord, if we're having difficulty discerning what is right and what is wrong, we would be in your word, led by your spirit, to show us by faith what it is we need to do. I thank you again, Lord, for this time. This I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.